Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production.
Now available on Apple Podcasts,
Podcast One,
Spotify,
and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Today on The Charlie Kirk Show, the president fights both the activist media and the Chinese coronavirus. He is released from the hospital and back on his feet. But the activist media seems to be wishing death upon him. President Trump gets the last laugh, as always. That and also the Republican Trinity. What does that actually mean? We talk about an unusual electoral strategy that President Trump, Mike Pence, and a surprising third can combine forces to win this election. That and so much more. Please email us your questions, freedom@charliekirk.com, freedom@charliekirk.com. Please consider supporting us at charliekirk.com/support, charliekirk.com/support. If you guys want to get involved with Turning Point USA, go to tpusa.com, tpusa.com. And finally, if you want to win a signed copy of the MAGA Doctrine, type in Charlie Kirk Show to your podcast provider, hit subscribe, and give us a 5-star review. President versus the media and the virus, the Republican Trinity. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Good Ranchers, unbelievable company. They began with the standard of bringing top-quality, 100% American-born, raised, and harvested meat to families across America. Look, they love their country. You guys are hungry. What a perfect combination. Good Ranchers delivers you meat. How do they do that? It's goodranchers.com. They partner directly with only American ranches from across the United States to bring you the highest quality meats right to your door. GoodRanchers.com. Get 100% American-raised beef right to your door. Beef the way it should be and the beef the way it used to be. Get America's best grass-fed beef finished straight to your door. Don't forget, shipping is always free. Free shipping, it's like free product. And the taste is always delicious. GoodRanchers.com, 100% American beef, chicken, and more. Support American farmers. Support the American economy. Skip the grocery store and go straight to your door. If you're driving right now, might be in the morning, might be in the afternoon, you're like, what am I going to do for dinner this week? It's my obligation. Moms, dads, uncles, aunts, boyfriends, girlfriends. Just pick up that phone. It's Good Ranchers with an S. .com. Tell them our show sent you, Charlie, C-H-R-L-I-E. Instead of going to the grocery store, you guys get all the meat right to your door. Hungry? GoodRanchers.com. Promo code Charlie. GoodRanchers.com. Promo code Charlie. So we've been unpacking the news around the activist media covering President Donald Trump being in the hospital. Mark Meadows has said it looks like President Donald Trump will be released from the hospital today. Kayleigh McEnany has also come down with the Chinese coronavirus. Bill Stepien as well. Senator Mike Lee, Senator Tom Tillis, and Chris Christie. It's becoming more and more clear that the announcement for Amy Coney Barrett is where this virus was spread. And the response from the activist media has been very predictable. The activist media has been wishing death in one way or the other upon our president. 40% of registered Democrats, according to a Morning Consult poll, said that they are happy that President Donald Trump contracted the Chinese coronavirus. So when I say that a certain wing of our American political discourse wishes harm upon our president or even wishes his demise, I literally mean that. But what's the root cause of this? Where does all this come from? Where does this venom and this hatred, where does the activist media learn these ideas? Who informs them? Who gives them validity? What is the basis for this? Well, as many of you know, I run Turning Point USA, founded it 8.5 years ago, tpusa.com. And Turning Point USA is on the front lines of the American culture war on high school and college campuses, contesting for freedom, liberty, and basically getting our kids to love America again. I have been warning for quite some time that what happens on college campuses does not stay on college campuses. It is not isolated. And so what happens on college campuses will soon happen in the corporate boardrooms, in the halls of Congress, and eventually in the entire American culture. It doesn't operate in its own secluded silo. And so when you see people that are going out in the streets, such as BLM Incorporated or Antifa, to try and physically demolish people they disagree with, there's a reason for that. It's because our universities teach our young people that that is the right way to go about your differences. You see, there's only two ways to govern people. One way is through persuasion. It's through talking. It's through convincing. The other way to govern people is through force, having a bigger gun, physically going after human beings and threatening them. That's it. Every government in the history of the planet can be organized in one of two ways. We are going to convince you, or we are going to hurt you. That's it. And as Aristotle said, we are talking beings. We are the speaking beings. In order to get into political power in the American system of government, you must make really good arguments. You must earn that power through a series of promises and keeping those promises. In fact, a total takeover of the American system of government, it takes at least 6 years through the Senate, the House, Supreme Court, and the White House. So you have to have really good ideas for a long period of time and be dedicated to those ideas. You see, the constitutional republic that our founding fathers gave us, the greatest system of government ever created in the history of the world, is based in this idea that you must convince others of your opinion. That is now being lost in our country, primarily through our college campuses. You see, dialogue, discourse, and disagreement is fundamental to a free society. A large portion of the American left does not believe that. A new poll found that nearly one-fifth of college students believe it is acceptable to use violent means to shut down speech that they disagree with or deem offensive. One out of five college kids that you'll find on a university campus believe that it's okay to take a baseball bat to the head of a conservative if he comes on campus. That's what this poll tells us. This is conducted by the Foundation for the Individual Rights in Education, FIRE, Real Clear Education, and College Pulse. They polled 20,000 students from 55 different colleges. Here's some other very interesting findings. 18% of college students approve of using violence in certain situations to stifle campus speech, as I mentioned. 21% at Ivy League schools. 21%. See, I actually visited these campuses. I've seen the venom that we are injecting into the next generation. When I went to Brown last year, it wasn't that they disagreed with me. In fact, their arguments were awful. In fact, the most widespread foolishness that I have ever seen at a place of higher learning would be Brown University. If you want your kid to hate America, send them to Brown. And yet these are supposedly the smartest kids in the country. The kids that are supposed to run our corporations, the students that are supposed to be the change makers of tomorrow. And it wasn't that they disagreed with me. They actually, you could see it in their eyes. If they had an opportunity, they wanted to hurt me. 15% of colleges in the Southeastern Conference, SEC, and liberal students were twice as likely to express an acceptance of violence. Go figure. One quarter of atheist students and black students expressed some level of violence. And 27% of LGBT students were open to violence. So you know what this tells me? The fact that 27% of LGBT students and black students and atheist students, when you convince a group that they are a victim, if you convince a group that they are oppressed, even though there's no data whatsoever to support that LGBT black students or atheist students are oppressed, therefore, if you convince oppression, it gives moral license for violent backlash. That's what it tells me. So when you sow the seeds of oppression, when you sow the seeds of discourse and discord or disunity, of course you're going to feel that physical means of retribution and retaliation are appropriate. Why not? I'm oppressed. The ends justify the means. And Machiavelli talked about in The Prince, which is one of the most important books that every American should read. The Prince by Niccolò Machiavelli. More than 60% of extreme liberals proclaim that it is always or sometimes acceptable to shut down a speaker. Only 15% of extreme conservatives found this behavior acceptable. I don't even believe that. I don't. Because I know the conservative base, but I'll trust the data for what it is, whatever. I thought that, and by the way, the liberals always say that they're the tolerant ones. We need a more loving society, they say. We need to be more open-minded. Love first. Your hate is not welcome here. That's what they say. These big signs when you show up on a college campus with the work that we do at Turning Point USA. Your hate is not welcome here. Meanwhile, according to the data, 60% of them believe it is always or sometimes acceptable to shout down a speaker. By the way, I did not need a poll to tell me this. I have been warning about this for many years. But what are the implications for this in mass society? What are the implications of this in our culture? Well, it's very simple. When you teach your kids that force is acceptable, or you don't teach them that you must have a better idea or an argument, when they actually assume force, they're going to use it. It's that simple. You see, the revolutionaries on college campus today are the members of Congress calling for the arrest of conservatives tomorrow. It's that simple. You see, the left, or young revolutionaries, or the young Bolsheviks, they do not possess the capacity to make salient arguments. They don't, because you don't teach them. They don't believe in reason. They don't believe in dialogue. They don't believe in discourse. They don't believe in empiricism. They don't believe in rational thought. Instead, they're highly pathological. They believe that everything is a power system. They believe that it is their goal to uproot the current status quo at any cost at all whatsoever. And this is a poll, again, commissioned by the Foundation for Individual Rights and Education. The entire American system is built on talking, on speaking. And if you couple really bad ideas, which are Marxist, socialist ideas in nature, with people that are unwilling to discuss them, and you combine those two things together, I think we all know exactly where that leads. People say, well, why is the country so divided? What's happening in America over the last decade? One of the major reasons is that we have nearly doubled the college population over the last decade. And when young people go to college, they are being filled with these venomous ideas of postmodernism, critical race theory, believing that dialogue is the problem. And a recent FIRE poll, as we have been covering, shows that 1/5 of college students believe it is acceptable to use violent means to shut down speech that they disagree with or that they deem offensive. And yet the entire focus of the activist media is that Donald Trump is the disintegration of decent society. And they do not cover at all whatsoever that when polled, 60% of liberal students said that it is okay to use any means necessary. These are liberal students. From speaking on a college campus, shout them down, interrupt them, pull fire alarms, smash windows, whatever it takes. And I've experienced all this on college campuses across the country. And so if you look at root causes, the education of our children is one of the major pieces of this. And so you look at the landscape, and I could just read some of these quotes here, where you have people that are literally wishing death against President Trump. They say, quote, "It's against my moral identity to tweet this, but for the past 4 years, I hope he dies." Campaign spokeswoman Zahra Rahim for Hillary Clinton. Chris Rock says, "President Trump's in the hospital from the Chinese coronavirus. I just want to say my heart goes out to COVID." Where do they get these kinds of ideas from? These are validated from a core belief. And this is one of the biggest divisions in our country. The division is somewhat right versus left. That's sort of true. But the more prescient division is those of us that are capable of hearing other ideas and those of us that aren't. In some ways, conservatives are now the ambassadors of traditional liberalism. Remember, there's a difference, as the great Dennis Prager would say, between liberalism and leftism. The idea of liberalism is, I actually think we should agree to disagree. Send out your wackiest ideas and I'm going to tell you what's wrong with those. And when you have a society that refuses to speak to other people that they disagree with, that society will disintegrate. A core fundamental belief in the American founding was that you must convince me to get political power, that you must have a better argument. You see, the entire idea of the Constitutional Republic, of which many young people in this country want to see completely and totally destroyed because we did not properly teach them history, is that we have consent to the governed, Well, how do you get consent to the governed? You do it by having better arguments, by believing in truth. That's how you get consent to the governed. Consent to the governed isn't by having a larger standing army. It's not by intimidating the other side. And so when you do have the complete and total silencing of certain ideas, this manifests itself then into the number one form of censorship in our country. You see, the number one form of censorship in our country is not the tech companies who need to be challenged, and some of them need to be broken up. It's not even the professors or the teachers or the leftist activists. The number one form of censorship in this country is you. It's self-censorship. It's if you're driving in your car right now, listening to this, and you go to a grocery store, you might not wear that Trump hat because you don't want the backlash. That's self-censorship. Or if you're listening to this program, flipping through social media, you're like, I don't know if I'm going to share the Turning Point USA post or the Charlie Kirk Show post, as I don't want to get all the backlash from my friends. It's decent people shutting themselves up because they are afraid of the true cost that will come to them if they dare speak out against the leftist orthodoxy. Now, mind you, liberals do not feel this fear. 71% of young people, when polled, believe that if they spoke their mind politically or religiously, they would lose their job or lose their friends. And so if you play this out over the next decade, which conservatives don't do a good enough job of, we as conservatives are far too short-sighted. The left is way more multi-decade view than we are. And for some good reason on our side, mostly not. You play this out, again, there's only two ways to govern people: speaking persuasion and talking, or by force. And you can already see they want to bring this into the streets. They do. They want to use brute force and weaponry to try to assume power. Sometimes small changes can make the biggest difference. So I'm going to talk about something you might be a little surprised. Socks. Changing your socks can make a huge difference in your daily walks or while hitting the links on the golf course. Runners worldwide have made Features, F-E-E-T-U-R-E-S, Features, their sock of choice. And by the way, I tried it on. It's unbelievable. So comfortable. Nice fit. It's terrific. I can tell you that Features is a really great product. Really is. They have a lifetime guarantee for Features. They're so durable and long-lasting that if you're unsatisfied at any point, they'll give you a replacement pair. No questions asked. Features is a proudly family-owned business. Hugh Gaithner founded the company in 2002, and now he and his sons Joe and John own and operate the company in North Carolina. Their mission is to create products that help you achieve your personal best. Features socks will change how you feel about your socks forever. And you can get $10 off your first pair of Features when you use the code KIRK, K-I-R-K, at Features.com. That's F-E-E-T-U-R-E-S.com, promo code KIRK, K-I-R-K, for $10 off your first pair of Features. So we've been breaking down the erosion of freedom of dialogue and speech and how that relates to how the activist media has responded to almost their veiled and not so veiled death wishes towards our president. A lot of people, though, are wondering, what does this mean politically? Because, yes, it's still an election. And I've actually kind of stayed away from this topic the last couple of days because I just think it's so inappropriate when a president is dealing with a very serious virus, when a president who is in his 70s is dealing with this virus and has to go to a hospital. But now that, as it looks like, the president is going to conquer this virus based on all the medical information available, I think now it is appropriate to talk about kind of the political circumstance in front of us. And so there's an array of new polling that is coming out. And again, I'm very careful when it comes to this polling because I think that a lot of Trump voters do not talk to pollsters. It's hard to identify Trump voters and be able to actually factor in turnout and factor in large-scale kind of hidden vote support. What we do know is that the president is doing very well with Latinos, surprisingly well with black voters, and not as well with suburban women voters. We know from certain cases in the United Kingdom and in Brazil that when Boris Johnson and Bolsonaro both came down with the Chinese coronavirus, their poll numbers skyrocketed. They saw a massive political boost from overcoming the Chinese coronavirus. And so for a president that has at times had a difficult journey convincing people that he's a sympathetic figure, this very well might help bridge that gap. And a lot of it will be in how the activist media tries to misportray him. And that's exactly why the activist media did not take a compassionate role when President Donald Trump was infected with the Chinese coronavirus. Instead, they took a combative posture. They said he might not even have it. He lied about it. What's the timeline? Send us more information. And so it's very important to first and foremost, let's set up the framework here. President Donald Trump did do a phenomenal job of shutting down our country and addressing this virus. And that despite the members of the activist media like Jim Acosta, this was not covered at all. When President Donald Trump was boarding the helicopter on Friday to go to Walter Reed, do you know what Jim Acosta tweeted? He said, quote, "The president didn't stop for questions." This is what Jim Acosta tweets out. Now, Jim Acosta, I'd like to have an open offer for you. If you'd really like to have questions from someone that is infected with the Chinese coronavirus, I'd be more than happy to set up an in-person interview right now with Kayleigh McEnany. I'm sure that that could definitely be arranged. Meanwhile, you have Chris Rock, who roots against Trump, and we've been through Zahra Rahim and all of that. So what does this manifest for the election? What does this mean for the election? I'm going to tell you the only honest answer, probably in the entire media landscape. Nobody knows. I'm going to guess, but to tell you that with certainty, his poll numbers are going to go up, his poll numbers will go down, his poll numbers will stay the same. There are so many unknown variations and skews of what's going to happen from this point forward that anybody that tells you with any sort of certainty that they know exactly what's going to happen next is deceiving you, and probably intentionally. But here's what I can tell you, is that the president now has a couple of opportunities ahead of him to convince people that he is the fighter for America. He fought the Chinese coronavirus and won. He has fought to keep our country safe against threats, foreign and domestic. And it actually kind of plays into the kind of debate that he had where he was fighting for our country, having no tolerance whatsoever for lies against Joe Biden. And look, a lot of people said, I didn't like President Donald Trump's debate performance. Two thoughts on that. Number one, read the transcript. We kind of talked about this during the impeachment hearings that many of us forget. If you read the transcript versus President Donald Trump and Joe Biden, President Trump made way better points. And I think there's some merit to say that President Trump should probably not have interrupted as much, but it was two versus one, Chris Wallace and Joe Biden on him in sort of an ambush sabotage. But secondly, President Trump asked Joe Biden questions that Chris Wallace never followed up about, ever. Never was there a follow-up and saying, wait a second, Joe Biden, will you pack the court? And who will you put on the Supreme Court? Pretty important questions for a U.S. president to answer. Instead, Joe Biden tap danced away from them. And the second point of the debate that I think wasn't talked about enough, in a lot of ways, President Trump has been watching these characters on television, on commercials, assault him and his presidency and his family. And I think President Trump finally got into the boxing ring. He was like, yes, now I have a chance to go after this guy. And I'm not going to leave anything back. You can't blame him. After being attacked, impeached, spied on by that very guy, Joe Biden, for 3.5 years, someone who lets loose a little bit and says, I'm going to show you exactly the pain and suffering we've been through. And so now the question is, where does the race stand? And some people are saying there's some polling that the race is breaking in Joe Biden's direction. And that might be temporarily true. And understand, the election is already happening. The question is not whether or not what happens on election day. It's what's happening right now. Over 1 million people have already voted nationwide right now. 1 million people. There are some recent polls that show that President Trump is doing quite well. Recent poll out today shows Donald Trump up 4 points in the battleground state of Ohio. President Trump will probably win Ohio convincingly by 7 to 10 points. Other polls out today show President Trump down significantly in Arizona, which is just a hard thing for me to be able to kind of process. We're actually doing this program live from Phoenix, Arizona right now. And it shows a New York Times Siena poll shows President Donald Trump down 8 points in Arizona. Hard to really believe that with voter registration, enthusiasm. There is a Susquehanna poll, though, that shows President Trump tied in Arizona. That sounds a lot better. So the question remains, how is this all going to manifest into the election? Well, I have a very specific suggestion for President Trump and his campaign. Embrace the Republican Trinity. The Republican Trinity. What is the Republican Trinity? Well, this week will be the first week in the history of the campaign where President Trump's performance matters less than somebody else's performance. What do I mean by that? Well, we have the vice presidential debate, of course. Vice President Pence is probably entering the most important vice presidential debate in recent memory. Now, lest us not forget, Barack Obama had an awful first debate against Mitt Romney in 2012. It was Joe Biden who was widely credited with saving Barack Obama's campaign in 2012 when Joe Biden debated Paul Ryan. I don't think Paul Ryan did very well. So Mike Pence now has an opportunity to go up against Senator Harris. But don't underestimate Vice President Mike Pence. He's former radio talk show host, former governor, former congressman, understands the communication landscape very well. But also, there's a third part of the Republican Trinity that is very popular and must be given the most amount of television time possible. Will help with suburban voters, help with voters of faith. And she's not running for office. But whether she liked it or not, she is now entering a highly politicized moment where she will be attacked, ridiculed, and condemned. And that is Amy Coney Barrett. Amy Coney Barrett is now part of the Republican political trinity. Trump, Pence, Barrett. And in order for President Donald Trump to win 4 more years, he has to lean on those two people more. When running a business, HR issues can absolutely kill you. Wrongful termination suits, minimum wage requirements, and labor regulations, and HR manager salaries are never cheap. They're an average of $70,000 a year. Bambee, spelled B-A-M-B-E-E, was created specifically for small business. You can get a dedicated HR manager, craft HR policy, and maintain your compliance all for just $99 a month. With Bambee, you can change HR from your biggest liability to your biggest strength. Your dedicated HR manager is available by phone, email, or real-time chat. From onboarding to terminations, they customize your policies to fit your business and help you manage your employees day to day, all for just $99 a month. Month to month, there are no hidden fees. Cancel anytime. You didn't start your business because you wanted to spend time on HR compliance. Let Bambee help. Get your free HR audit today. Go to Bambee.com/Kirk. That's Bambee.com/Kirk right now to schedule your free HR audit. That's Bambee.com/Kirk, spelled BAM to the BEE.com/Kirk. I believe that he'll get some form of a polling boost from being hospitalized and successfully beating the Chinese coronavirus. But remember, people want certainty in the totality of the ticket that they're voting for. We mislabel this election as Trump versus Biden. It's really Trump Pence versus Biden Harris. So this vice presidential debate has very serious consequences and major implications. And also, people want certainty of what's going to happen on the U.S. Supreme Court. The more that the Trump-Pence campaign leans into the fact that Joe Biden has yet to release who he will put on the U.S. Supreme Court and might pack the courts is a winning issue. So how do we know that Amy Coney Barrett is popular? They told us. They told us. You see, Joe Biden is nothing more than a reflection of very expensive polling and certain political data that is inputted into his specific circuitry. Joe Biden has no independent thoughts. Joe Biden has no capacity to form opinions. Everything Joe Biden says was inputted by a 28-year-old socialist Bolshevik that probably went to Yale, Harvard, Princeton, or Stanford, or Caltech that is looking at public polling data and puts it into Joe Biden's head, probably alongside an adrenaline shot. And so Joe Biden is just a reflection of the massive amount of information that the Biden campaign is spending to find what to say and what not to say. Donald Trump is not. Donald Trump is a freewheeler, instinctive, in a good way, impulsive debater. So when Joe Biden refused to attack Amy Coney Barrett and said, I have no problem with the nominee, but instead, let's talk about health care and women's rights, that shows that Amy Coney Barrett is popular in the districts, the precincts, and the states that will determine this presidential election. This goes to show that Republicans who have traditionally failed reaching suburban voters, especially in the last couple of years, they have now been given a massive political opportunity to showcase and highlight a decent, incredible nominee, Amy Coney Barrett, mother of seven, two adopted children, one with Down syndrome. So the question then remains, how will Republicans best do this? And will they be able to do this? Mike Pence has a very big week ahead of him where the eyes of the nation will be on the debate against Senator Harris. I believe that Mike Pence will do very, very well. I want to read you an article from CNN, the conspiracy news network. Amy Coney Barrett's debut shows that she'll be a tough adversary for Democrats. September 27th. This is by Maeve Reston. You see, the more I go into the literature around Amy Coney Barrett, literature is not the right word, the writings around Amy Coney Barrett, how the liberals are treating her, they got very little to attack her on. They attack her on her faith. They attack her on her religious beliefs. But it's becoming more and more clear that Amy Coney Barrett should have the closest proximity possible to the senators that are running from North Carolina to Arizona to Colorado. She's popular and she's tough. She loves the Constitution. And center-right voters, which are a majority of the voters in the swing states that matter, think very highly of Amy Coney Barrett. This can be the winning wedge issue for President Donald Trump up against Joe Biden. Now, mind you, the chattering class and the intelligentsia were telling you for a very specific reason not to fill this seat. You see, the activist media did not want this seat filled for two reasons. Number one, they don't want this seat filled because they know it will be a permanent constitutional majority, at least permanent for the sense until another vacancy happens. But the much more applicable reason why they don't want this confirmation fight to proceed is that Amy Coney Barrett, on nonstop cable television throughout the day, answering questions from senators about her constitutional worldview, will help Republicans all up and down the ballot. That Democrats back in 2018 were actually on pace to flip the United States Senate away from Mitch McConnell. Mitch McConnell was at great risk of losing the U.S. Senate. And it was the confirmation fights of Brett Kavanaugh that flipped Senate seats from Indiana to many others across the country. To Florida as well, by the way, beating incumbent Senator Bill Nelson. The same will happen with Amy Coney Barrett. And the Democrats are already saying we should cancel the hearings because of the virus spread. They can do it by Zoom. They've done Senate hearings with Amazon and Apple and Facebook and Twitter via Zoom. Why wouldn't they also do that with Amy Coney Barrett? The reason is this, is that the Democrats and the activists, they're horrified of what's going to happen when Amy Coney Barrett actually starts taking questions. She'll explain original intent. She'll explain natural rights. She'll explain her judicial philosophy. She'll teach America that we're not awful. You see, more so than anything else, the activist Democrats fear that Amy Coney Barrett might persuade our country that we're not that awful. That Amy Coney Barrett might actually raise the approval rating for the Constitution, might actually be a great academic moment, a sobering moment, that maybe we shouldn't be angry that we live in the greatest constitutional republic ever to exist in the history of the world. So for Republicans out there, this is a phenomenal opportunity. In the next minus 30 days before the election, by the way, to have Amy Coney Barrett do the tough work for you, to have Amy Coney Barrett give swing voters and voters in the middle the confidence that under Republican leadership and four more years of President Trump, you get more of Amy Coney Barrett and less Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. ACB, versus AOC, decent voters will pick ACB. What a great episode. Please go to new and improved charliekirk.com for your source of news and information. charliekirk.com for your source of breaking news and insight. Email us your questions, as always, at freedom@charliekirk.com, freedom@charliekirk.com. If you want to get involved with Turning Point USA, the nation's largest student organization on campuses across the country, go to tpusa.com, tpusa.com. We play offense with a sense of urgency to win America's culture war. And finally, if you want to win a signed copy of The MAGA Doctrine, type in Charlie Kirk Show to your podcast provider, hit subscribe, and give us a 5-star review. Make sure to listen to our sister episode, 10 Ways Pence Can Win the Debate and Win the Election. Thanks so much for listening. God bless.